So I invite you to the Word, to Genesis chapter 17, and to listen to these words for the Word of the Lord as we experience them together. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 and then 15 through 22. So we'll start at the beginning of the chapter, and then when I skip, I'll be starting at 15. So, listen to these words, and in them hear the word of the Lord for the people of faith. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." To verse 15. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." And God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him and make him fruitful and exceedingly numerous as well. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year." And when the Lord had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. These represent the word of the Lord for people of faith. Thanks be to God. This is a story about a new beginning. See, life begins at 99, according to Abram. And God, by the way, to choose someone like that. 100 years old, a century. And God's invitation to him is to be blameless and to walk before me. Or the Message Bible says to live entirely before me. And I will bless you. I don't know that any of us could do that. We can't live to be all that God has called us to be on our own strength. I think we have to have the blessing of God and the presence of God through the Spirit. to lead the lives that we are called to lead. Last week, the text we read, in it the Lord said to Abram, still Abram at that time, leave your homeland and go with me to the land that I will show you. He said, I will make you a great nation and bless you. Now, this is before the covenant of childbearing. This is a promise without even the view of a child in the picture. God says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing, and I will bless all of those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. What would it cost you to live up to a call to go and not even know where? You never know. It could cost you family. It certainly would cost you job. It might cost you your resources, your wealth. It's not easy to migrate. It's not easy to follow God and do all that God calls us to do. But what would it cost you if God called you to do something ridiculous like this? It's not easy to migrate, but sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary even when you're 99 years old. This week, the text we've read today, five chapters later, we're on the move again. Abram, on the move. Migratory lifestyle in those days. In search of better land, pasture for the sheep and the cattle. This was an arid land, and sometimes they just had to move. They had to keep moving to find the pasture land and the resources like water that they needed. It's interesting, we talk about the spiritual journey as a walk of faith. We get that from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Walk in the Lord, walk in the light, walk in the path. Spiritual journey is about walking, and we talk about that, our walk with Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to notice that this connection all the way back into the prehistoric times of the Old Testament, this journey of faith is about walking. This journey of following God is about getting up and going and moving. It's not new. But here, God says, walk before me, and I will confirm your covenant and greatly increase your numbers. But here's the catch. Your blessing will not be just for you. You are blessed to be and become a blessing. See, God's people are not just about privilege, but also about responsibility. While God is the great giver, God did not want to just give, but to have relationship with us, to have covenant, that we might be partners, that we might have dialogue together. I think that's one of the most fundamental understandings of praying. It's not just us talking to God, it's us listening to God. And the very best praying should be dialogue between two parties. That's why I like to have a prayer of silence as we begin our pastoral prayer. Let God speak to us, and I hope you do that in your own daily praying, because if we are talking all the time, guess what? We'll miss it. We will miss what God has to say to us when that time comes. We're called to have this relationship, this covenant, or this agreement with God. In fact, like Abraham, we're called to a new name, Christian believer. We take the name of Christ. We don't have this tradition anymore, at least not in the Methodist Church, not here. But many churches, when students are confirmed, they take on a new name, their middle name. In some Catholic traditions, babies are not given a double name like we give our children when they're born. They're given a single name and a last name. And then when they are confirmed, they take the name of a disciple that they choose. And in that, they learn to walk in that discipleship and to walk and pattern their lives after the saint that they have chosen and others. We talk about spiritual journey as a walk, but that implies that we're going somewhere in search of something, food or fellowship or relationship, or even best, companionship. So God is putting it in simple terms. They're profound and they're scary ones, but God is addressing Abraham and Sarah and saying, now walk before me wherever you go. I will confirm your covenant and greatly increase your numbers. But your blessing will not be just for you. You are blessed to be a blessing. While God is the great giver, God did not want to just give, but to have relationship, giving back, covenant, dialogue. That means we have to spend time with our face down to pray and listen to God as well as to speak, to bless others and to make God's name great as God promised Abraham. So Abram's name is changed from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of many. And Sarai's name is changed from Sarai to Sarah, which means she will be the mother of nations. The name Sarai means my lady, my princess. And Sarah means a woman of noble rank. So names mean something. A woman of noble rank, for the kings would come from her, as well as those who would come through her line of history. With name changes, the flow of faith or the church is in good company. For we are said, we have heard, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. That's a big difference. Names are changed from Abram to Abraham, from Jacob to Israel, to Sarai from Sarai, and to move into the New Testament, from Simon to Peter. And Peter, Petros, means the rock. Simon's name is changed to Peter. Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, you are now Peter. The confession of faith that you have made is the rock of faith. But back to Abraham. After all this dialogue with God, the father of many, called Abraham, fell face down and laughing at God, said to himself, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And he offered an alternative. God, why don't you just give this blessing to Ishmael? We already have a son. Our time is short and we've already got a son on the ground here. Let's have a conversation about some alternate plans. Yeah, but it was already happening. God reveals now, Sarah will bear you a son, not quite a year from now. This one whom you have called barren, who is 90 years old, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac, which means laughter. What a great name. What a great name for one who has just laughed at God. This Abraham, to have his son named Laughter. But God means it to say, this is the future that I choose to bless. Oh, I'll bless Ishmael too, he said. He also will be the father of many and a great nation, the nation of the Arab people, in competition with Isaac. And that's just the beginning of the story. But my covenant, God says, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you before this time next year. See, God is making a way of hope. Not an easy way, but a way that is already underway. It's already happening. In this text, Abraham falls on his face twice. In 17:3, in awe, when the Lord appeared to him with a promise that he would become the father of many, he presumed through Ishmael, the servant girl. He thought God was blessing his plan. And just a few verses later, in 17:17, instead of in awe, this time he laughs at God when God tells him that Sarah would bear a son. Abram falls on his face in laughter. It's really poetic that the name of the child, Isaac, means laughter. Sometimes it's really hard for us to see or believe God's plans. Sometimes when we imagine that God is doing anything significant through us, we want to just laugh at how that might be. Sometimes we want to do it our own way and stay in control as if we really were in control. I don't know how you feel, but the promise is coming. It's on the way, and it's about to be born. And our consent, whether in laughter or tears, is not going to change what God is doing. We should not question that God is doing something in history, in us even. It's already happening. The kingdom of God is all around us. It's full of impossibilities and surprises. Will you and I laugh at them as Abraham? Will we always want to have an alternative proposal? Will we try to do it our own way, like Abram with Hagar? Or will we jump in and get behind God, welcoming God's rule and participating in it? Even Jesus got on his knees and submitted his will to God when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Should we be any different? Yes, we are visionaries. Yes, we have ambitions. Yes, we have hopes for the future. Yes, we have to make plans. We are privileged to make plans, but they always need to be in the context of God's plans. How can we welcome the reign of God in our own households, in our work decisions, in our church and all its ministries? Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. The answer is not found by falling on our face in laughter at God for being ridiculous, as Abram did. But the answer is found in falling on our face in prayer. That's how we accept God's reign. Not by being anxious and trying to spin our wheels until we get it right, but by welcoming it, for it is already among us. It is already on the way. We accept God's reign by embracing it, by welcoming it, and by jumping in to participate in it.